We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. On Teacher Talk this week, I'll be speaking with Interim Superintendent Dr. Dan Good. We're going to focus on the good news from the Columbus City Schools, positive programs, achievements, and recognitions that don't always make the newspapers or TV reports. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Good.
Hi, Sue.
It's so great to have you here, and I first met you in, I believe it was September, and we had a really, really great talk, and I enjoyed having you on the program, and I'm glad that you were willing to come back and made time in your schedule to talk about some of the good things that are happening in the Columbus City Schools. But before we do this, I want to talk a little bit about our successes, of course, but we have to address the unfortunate defeat of issues 50-51 first and get that out of the way, and then we can go into some of the really great things that are going on in our district. So as a result of this defeat, what message did you receive from the voters, and where do we go from here as we look ahead without that money that we were so counting on?
Thank you, Sue. Well, as you know, I've met over 1,000 of our community members in over 500 different groups and organizations and associations and congregation meetings in the past 4 months. And I believe they gave us some clear marching orders as a result of the failed issue on the November ballot. And we do need to work more towards being transparent and trustworthy, being efficient without compromising our effectiveness. And we're committed to doing that. I love our community. I've not met a single citizen that I don't think truly wants the best for their children and for the future of the capital city in Columbus, or in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dr. Good, I know that one of the things that's been brought up about this is that, they're wondering about, well, who's responsible, and are we going to see individuals who are not going to be with our district anymore because of their responsibility in some of the problems we've had in the past? And my understanding is we're really waiting to see what are the final reports and results that we're going to get from the different auditors and those kinds of people.
That's a piece of it. However, we've also taken action on mm-hmm. employees, and other employees have elected to leave the district of their own accord. We continue the investigation. We've enacted policies now that are regarded as model policies for all districts, and that was from the state auditor. And we continue to work closely with the auditor's office. But in some cases, yes, we need to wait until the findings are released from the auditor so that we can move forward without engaging the district in expensive potential litigation without cause.
That's right. That's right. Well, now, and just to kind of wrap this up, are you still working with the mayor to restore confidence in our district? What are the dynamics there?
What we have done is we've taken a look at what we can focus on, and we know that early childhood continues to be important to our community, that reading and mathematics achievement, that our families want career and college pathways, and we need to develop our leadership within the district. And so those five goals are really where we're focused. I have had conversations with the mayor, but have had conversations as well with civic associations and business leaders and our faith-based organizations, and that engagement is critical to understanding the pathway forward.
You know, Dr. Good, you mentioned the types of community involvement we have, and that's something that I am so thrilled about in this particular community in Columbus, Ohio, and that's one reason why we're going to talk about the good news in the Columbus City Schools today. I get all these media alerts from the Columbus City Schools Communications Department, and I am just so overwhelmed and so thrilled to see how many wonderful things are going on, and I keep using the word wonderful here, but I guess I need to be more specific and talk about awards, recognition, scholarships, so many things that I honestly don't see in the newspaper. I don't see on the television or even here on the radio, because a lot of them are kind of smaller stories. So we're not going to be talking here today about the great gift that Huntington gave, like $750,000. So I know I can. I actually already talked about that on another Teacher Talk program. But I'd like to instead shine a spotlight on a few of these, what some people might call smaller stories, but I think they really have a big impact. And I'd like to start out right now with an event that has your name on it, not Dr. Dan Good, but the Superintendent's Honor and Recognition Program. This took place last month, and over 100 students, staff, and community members were recognized for their efforts to improve the learning experience in the Columbus City Schools. And I think this is a quarterly event, so can you just tell us a little bit about this and what kinds of achievements were honored?
It is a quarterly event, and it did occur in November, and it was held close to where we're taping at the Arts Impact School this time. And we generally have some student performance that begins the program and then recognize students from the home school for their achievement and also their extracurricular activities and successes. And we focus not only on students, but also on parents, on faculty members, on community organizations, and for small as well as large impacts on the overall well-being of our students and this community.
You know, people do need a pat on the back or an attaboy, as they sometimes call it, and I think this is a good vehicle for doing that. Are these people recognized or are these people nominated by community, homeschools, all of the above?
All of the above. Uh-huh. We did have individuals that were not enrolled currently in our schools, but certainly, again, impacted the community in some significant way. And they were nominated by the families. And so members of our of the district, as well as citizens in the community, can go online and make those nominations. And we seek to recognize the small and the large. In fact, we recognize a teacher for performing the Heimlich maneuver and saving a student from choking.
Wow.
Right here, in fact, at Arts Impact School. So
really?
they're efforts of humanity to improve the overall well-being of the people we live with on this planet.
Well, you know what? That particular story might have not been a big one to make the television news, but boy, oh boy, I bet you for that child's family, it was the biggest news of all that teacher was able to do that. That's really wonderful to hear.
And what's interesting, Sue, is we actually had another choking incident just this past week, and so that'll be recognized in the next round of recognitions. And so it doesn't tend to be something that happens frequently, but in this case, two subsequent events.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Dr. Good, let's discuss some of the good news about outstanding programs in the Columbus City Schools. I'm going to mention a few. You just jump in there anytime. This is your program, not mine. The first one I want to mention is one that really intrigued me when I read about this in the media alert, and that is Delta Dental just gave the Ohio State University College of Dentistry $450,000, but this was to bring dentists and dental treatment to children in our schools. So although it went to the College of Dentistry, we're the ones who end up benefiting. And I thought this was just like a terrific thing.
That's true. And I don't know if you were aware, but when they made that announcement, they actually allowed some of the students to have their teeth checked, to be checked and cleaned on the spot to demonstrate their commitment.
Wow, that is really great. Well, another program, the AEP Foundation and Columbus State Community College are partnering in the 5 million credits count program, $5 million credit count program, and this helps Columbus City School high school students graduate with up to 12 college credit. Now, I know that we've always had something like this in the past, but it sounds to me like there's greater opportunity now for these kids.
There is greater opportunity, and it's not limited to just the high school students. In fact, the program will be focused in 5 high schools, but also in middle schools as well, to raise awareness and develop the exposure to these opportunities in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics careers. And then when they get to high school, the students can participate in those courses, get both high school credit and college credit, and there, of course, would be no charge to those students.
Wonderful. Now, are they getting these courses? Are these at Columbus State, or are these being taught by adjunct professors, field professors in their high school, or how does that work?
As we develop the program, there are a number of different formats that could be adjunct faculty that teach the courses at the high school. There could be opportunities where the students travel to the college campus to take coursework, which is important, and probably some blended opportunities as well.
Great. Boy, I love hearing that. You know, I taught a course at West High School years ago that I was an adjunct for Kenyon College, and these kids just got, you know, like, I don't know, it was 3 or 5 credits in English before they for college before they even graduated. I mean, that was great. So now we've also learned that 5 Columbus City schools are among the 16 schools statewide selected for the Adaption, Integration, and the Arts. That's the AIA residency program for the 2013-2014 school year. AIA partners artists and educators in inclusive classrooms will help to enhance teaching and learning through an arts-integrated curriculum. So we're looking at at classrooms where we might have special ed kids in there, and we're going to try to enhance their experience. Is that correct? Am I seeing understanding this correctly,
Dr. Good?
That's
true, and we actually have special ed students, or students that have individual education plans,
right.
In most all of our classrooms.
Right.
We try to include mainstream as much as possible. But what we're using now is arts as a context for
uh-huh.
instruction and a way to engage those students and develop those partnerships with their peers.
And a lot of times that really is a key to these kids. It's a way to get to them, that's for sure. Well, now, Dr. Good, our students are learning and achieving, not just in their academics, but in other areas of life. And so we certainly could talk about all the different types of academic things that are going on and how they are progressing through help from the community and through outside individuals. But I thought today maybe I'd like to take a look at some of the things that our students are doing that are not necessarily related to getting that A or B in math, for example. Recently, some Eastmore Academy students spent the nights in a makeshift structure built on their school grounds in order for them and others to experience and bring awareness of the homeless in Columbus. And I know I did a program on this a couple years ago. These students have been doing this for a number of years.
They have. They have. And actually, it's been the same faculty member that sponsored that
Bruce
program.
Bruce Green.
Indeed. Bruce Green.
He used to be vice president of CEA. I just want to put that out there. Bruce is a dynamic individual, but the students are incredible, and they learn so much by doing this. They sleep outside at night, and they get the experience. They learn exactly what is going on if someone is homeless.
And as you know, Bruce's strength is really helping students understand the importance of not only paying back, but paying forward and embracing that service learning ethic. And so this is exemplary of that effort.
It really is. It really is. And it's just amazing to me that this program has been going on for a number of years now, and students embrace doing this, having this experience, because they know that they're going to grow by this and they have greater empathy for those around them. A new organization has been formed by two CAUSE students, Lakeitha Baker and Elise Dorton. And you know, when I first read this and I saw it was called the Curvy Girls of Columbus, Ohio, I thought, oh, well, I could join that. But no, it's not about weight issues. This is much more, this is very serious and yet a very wonderful thing these girls are doing. They formed a support group for girls diagnosed with scoliosis. And that certainly is a condition that is not necessarily uncommon. I've had students, female students, who had scoliosis, and I remember them having to wear these back braces. And so how wonderful that these girls themselves are working to help other individuals deal with this condition.
I think it also demonstrates why we need to listen to what's important to our children. And these girls recognize something beyond the academic achievement that's important, and those are health-related issues, particularly for females in this case. We have a group you're familiar with, I believe, called the Student Ambassadors that have met for a number of years. There are two or three students that are juniors or seniors at each of our high schools, and they come together once a month to share their stories, and not only stories of pride, but also the issues and concerns that are unique to their generation. And we continue to meet, but this year, those students decided they wanted to tell their story more broadly, not to just each other and to their superintendent, but they wanted to film a show. And in that show, they would have a theme each month, and the show would travel from school to school. And so we finished taping a couple of those shows, and it could be viewed at noon on whatever the channel is. I don't know the
right
call numbers of it. And but it's really fascinating to hear from their perspective and hear them build off of each other, those shared issues and also those shared successes that they have in the district. But Student Ambassadors, and the show's called The Good Show, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what are a couple of the issues that these students want to discuss? And are they related to their school? Are they social issues?
They're both and. Let me give an example.
Yeah.
Our students, in order to earn a diploma in Columbus City Schools, they're required to perform so many service learning hours or volunteer
right
hours. And for many of our students, it's difficult to do that if they don't have transportation. So they've been working on shared solution seeking as to how we can expand our COTA passes so that they can ride those COTA buses after the expiration of the time that's allowable on those passes, so that they can serve then in the evenings or even weekends those internship responsibilities. So they're thinking together about that. They've embraced service learning, but they recognize that access and transportation may be barriers to doing as much as they can do. Mm-hmm. So in this last meeting, we actually had a guest, Hannah Wexner, who started her own nonprofit that has a global focus. So by performing those local service hours, the industries that benefit then give $10 to a health agency in another continent where those needs are. And so by doing service locally, they're benefiting the population globally, and our students embrace that and engage in some powerful dialogue. And again, that can be viewed on, is it WCBE? Is that the TV station?
No.
What is it?
I think it's Educable, but I don't know.
We'll find out.
You know what? I really know about the radio part, but okay. About the television part, I'm going to apologize
That's
for okay. that. Well, you also mentioned that the ambassadors, as they've gotten together and they've and now they're making these videos, that they also have celebrated certain things. You mentioned the issues, but then you mentioned that there have been celebrations. What are the kinds of things that they feel good about themselves or about their schools?
Well, one of the greatest ones, and it is featured in one of the most recent shows, was the Marching Band Invitational.
That was wonderful, and I bet you most people don't know about this.
It was an amazing Saturday. The temperature was perfect, the stands were packed, and all this of our high schools were represented.
Where were they? Where was this held?
It was at Whetstone.
At Whetstone.
It was. And each band, of course, put together a show, and some of those bands were selected to perform that show there that morning. And again, they performed the national anthem together at the beginning, and at the end, in true marching band invitational fashion, they paraded past the front of the stands and gave their own unique salutes to all of the patrons that had come out that day. It was an amazing, amazing event. And again, the students actually narrated the documentary on that program that day. And our students that were part of our allied health professions provided first aid services that day. So it was really a community event.
Wow. That somebody had to be really on top of the organization of that, though, with all those bands. And, you know, and actually, while we're speaking about bands, I'd just like to throw out there that I know that Columbus City Schools choir students actually performed with the Ohio State University Marching Band at one of the games this year. And I thought, wow, that's a great honor. I mean, to be able to do that, those kids, is being down in that stadium, I mean, it probably is something that they've never experienced before, and such a unique opportunity.
It really was. Dr. Milt Ruffin, obviously the administrator at the Fort Hays campus, Metropolitan Education Center, directs the gospel choir at the mm-hmm. Ohio State University, and invited students from our high schools to participate when the gospel choir accompanied the OSU marching band at that halftime show. And it was amazing. The students actually performed in the skull session that morning to resounding ovations, and again then on the field during halftime. So.
Wow. Okay. Our kids are doing some great things. And speaking of our kids doing great things, Morgan Hosbro, and I saw her, you had your picture taken with her. She's a famous person. You
she
should
is.
Have been really, really honored to be with her. She's been chosen to be a member of the U.S. women's sled hockey team, and she already scored a goal at a match in Norway. This is one of our high school students. How wonderful.
She's an amazing young lady. And in fact, the team the team on which she's a member defeated four European teams during their most recent tournament. And, you know, her tagline is, you just got to get out there and do it. And if you meet Morgan, you know that she lives that every day on a personal level, as well as on in her athletic careers.
Okay. Well, we've talked about programs. We've talked about student achievements. But let's not forget our teachers and the good news their achievements bring to our district. Every year, the Ingram White Castle Foundation awards grants to 9 Columbus City school teachers. This year, there were 9 of them for the 2013-2014 school year. And these grants are awarded to support programs that serve disadvantaged students and help them achieve academic success. I just want to say that I know that this has been an ongoing thing for many, many years, and I certainly want to give credit to this foundation for helping the plans, the projects that these teachers teachers have put forth to help our students.
I agree, and there are so many organizations now that are recognizing the value proposition of high-quality teachers. Battelle for Kids celebrated their Distinguished Educators of 2013, and teacher Jeannie Byer from Parsons Elementary and Andrea Manfresco from Johnson Park Middle were honored. As well, Columbus Parent Magazine. I can't imagine a bigger award being given. Recognized Teachers of the Year, and we had two this year, Pamela Reed from Buckeye Middle and Sequoia Temple from Mays Elementary. So the community recognizes their worth.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I think sometimes there are teachers laboring out there, just as people in any profession, and they wonder, gee, does anybody know what I'm doing? But I think more and more the public is saying, we do celebrate what you're doing. We want you to continue doing a good job. We're holding you to a high standard, but we recognize what you're doing. Such as Woodward Park Middle School teacher Tom Shrilla. He participated last summer in a prestigious STEM fellowship from the Siemens Foundation and Discovery Education, and he was one of only 50 educators selected from across the country. Wow, that says a lot for teachers in our district, doesn't it?
It really does, and not only on a national level, but what people probably don't know is Tom Shrilla has met with CIO, the chief in
Chief Informational Officer.
And with me to help us with our student access to the internet and understanding what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate and how we can help children make better decisions. So both focus locally and nationally.
Right, right. And we do have to keep supporting these teachers and hearing what they have to say. East Haven Elementary teacher Jody Barnes was recently selected to join the Master Teacher Project, sponsored by the National Education Association and Better Lesson. And, wow, that's really a great thing, too, because, you know, this Master Teacher Project is one that is certainly recognized all over the country, and we're very honored that one of our elementary teachers is a part of that. We really are. And then finally, Columbus City Schools gifted coordinator Molly Beam was among 12 educators in the nation to be selected as a participant in an intensive training and mentorship program sponsored by the National Association for Gifted Children. And we're very proud that she's been involved in that. Dr. Good, you know, we're giving kudos to people, but I think right now I'm going to give one to you. Because in a recent letter to the Dispatch, a Columbus City school teacher said he felt inspired by what you said about the levy defeat concerning our responsibility to the children regardless of levies. And this teacher wrote, "This is what I needed to hear, to be reminded how fortunate we are to positively influence our students. While I don't know the superintendent personally, I can feel his compassion and true respect for our young learners." So, Dr. Good, we're near the close of this program, and here apparently, you know, something that you said really kind of struck home with this teacher, and I think sometimes people need to hear that. We've already mentioned it, that someone is out there working hard and trying to achieve, and sometimes just a word can make a difference. What would you like to say to the teachers and their students as we look forward to the rest of this school year?
I'm trying to recall what I said now. I remember that morning after the levy defeat. There was a spectacular sunrise, and on the clouds were lit by the sun that you couldn't see yet over the horizon, pinks and blues, and I thought that's a good sign. And as I drove downtown, I passed Trinity Episcopalian, and the church window was lit, and the primary colors were reflecting on the wet pavement that morning, and I thought that's a good sign. And I thought, you know what, every day we have a marvelous opportunity to make an impact on the lives of children, and regardless of the outcome of this levy, we will continue to deliver because that's what we do. And I want to assure the teachers that I support them and that I'm encouraged and inspired by them every single day when I see the works that they do. And I want to assure the community that they're in good hands of professionals in those classrooms, and but not just in the classrooms, all of those professionals that help get the conditions right for high quality teaching and learning in Columbus City Schools.
Well, thank you very much for making that statement. Thank you very much for being here to help us through difficult times and toward a better future. We sincerely hope that our listeners will continue to support our public schools. I want to thank Superintendent Dr. Dan Good for joining me this evening. It's been a great pleasure, and I hope you'll return to the Teacher Talk once again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Sue.
This concludes our program. I'm Sue Miziak. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. A podcast of this program will soon be available at wcbe.org. Good night.